John Smith. This is me. This is the corporate John and the family John. I spent about 13 years in corporate America. I was laid off. Hallelujah.
All right.
No, I wasn't saying hallelujah like I was glad. You know, I missed the money. This is my family. That's John and that's Lauren. Amen. And then the ministry part there, John B. Smith Ministries, God's doing some awesome things. And I praise God for that. And I spent about 13, 14 years in corporate America. You waiting on me to tell you to be seated? You waiting on me? Oh, okay. Y'all got other jobs. Thank you. So I was in corporate America, and I was downsized. And I like this crowd here. Y'all, yeah. We gonna dance in a minute. Y'all, I'm just Church of God in Christ, but I'm saved.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying Church of God in Christ folk ain't saved. That ain't what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I minister everywhere. In all kind of say Catholic churches. I went to Catholic churches. They were shouting, falling down, speaking in tongues. First time I ever experienced that in my life. And I mean, they had drums and organ. I mean, we had a great Baptist church, all kind of churches, you know.
Yes,
so I flow with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen. Y'all see, I ain't got on no suit I got on, Gene.
Yeah.
Amen. I flow with the order of the house. Amen.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Out 14 years and I was downsized. And I remember, I'm helping somebody today. I remember walking to the elevator crying, saying, what am I going to do?
Come on.
We had just moved. My wife was pregnant, and our daughter was young. And I never will forget what the Lord told me. He said, be not dismayed. Whatever be time. He said, I will take care of you.
Yes, sir.
Man, for that five-year period or so, I mean, I spent time with the Lord like I never will ever before. Because I'm telling you, when your back is up against the wall, you'll pray. If that's all you know to do, when hard times hit, you'll pray, you'll fast. Man, I preached some of my best messages, and I shouted my best when I was going through. And man, but the bills never were late. Mortgage never was late. God always made a way.
Yes, sir.
And so that's why I tell people, trust God. My salary was decreased by 75%. And all I knew was every piece of money I got, I took it home and put it in the bank. And my wife managed the money. I bring my money home. And my wife managed the money in the bank. And all I got to say is God did it.
All right.
Because any of y'all heard this thing called health insurance?
Uh-huh.
It's high, ain't it?
Yes.
I mean, any of y'all work for any health companies, health care companies? Y'all help us bring the price down. Amen. God bless y'all. Y'all got a tough job. God bless you. But I'm here to encourage you to say, and I don't know why I gave that testimony. I say it sometime because some people are sometime what we call in between blessings. And you going through and you've lost hope and you feel like that, Lord, when is the word going to work for me? But I'm here to tell you, it's going to work for you.
Yes, sir.
You just got to keep on keeping on.
Uh-huh.
You know, the little man, the little engine that was when we was a kid said, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. You keep hearing Pastor Jason, you say, I think I can, think I can. Then after a couple of Sundays, you'll start saying, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. And that thing will start building up, but it's the word in you.
Yes, sir.
That's building up. That's encouraging you. So don't all the negative people, erase them out of your phone. All the people that don't talk positive, that don't want to help you. Sometimes some people you talk to, you feel worse after you talk to them. Huh? Erase them out of your phone. Say, I don't mean no harm, but I just deleted you. I need about 20 people to take off your phone right now. You got permission right now and delete at least one person out of your phone that ain't helping you and ain't hindering you. They just there.
Well.
And if y'all like me, I don't have but a limited amount of storage in my phone. So I don't need folk that's just there.
Come on.
Let's get into the word today. Y'all ready for the word?
Amen.
You got your Bibles out. You got your electronic Bibles, your iPhones, your iPads. Amen. Today I want to talk about why does the Lord keep blessing me? I want to go to the scripture in Psalms 22, 1 through 3. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, O my God, I cry in the daytime. thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, here it is, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Come on, let's go to the next slide. I just want to give you some foundations of our message on today. Just a few foundations of what we're going to talk about. First of all, human incompleteness suggests why. I want to talk about the imperfections for a moment of our desire, even in our imperfections rather, and our desire to subdue the flesh. We often fall into the category of why, our incompleteness. How many of y'all know that it's a war going on inside of you? It's a war going on inside of you. You know, sometimes as ministers of the gospel, we can tell when people's attention is somewhere else. Yeah. You know, and sometimes at church, we can tell when people are thinking about that roast. I only have 15 minutes to get back. We're thinking about the game, the pregame show, and doing football season. I always can tell at church when it's football season because men never stick around to shake my hand. Hallelujah. As soon as dismissal, they say, see you, pastor. All right. God bless you. They're going to try to catch the pregame show. Sometimes it is a war, but even more serious things, the enemy battles us on the inside. And there's a war going on. But how many of y'all know that you can be like Nehemiah chapter 9 and Psalms 41 that said, Lord, be merciful unto me. You know, forgive me for my thinking. Forgive me for not really honoring you and giving you the time that you deserve. It's a war going on. And in that war, we all struggle with the power of it. We all have an it. Now, it is a very, it is the thing that we struggle with. It is the thing that you don't want to tell anybody about. It is the thing where people come to church smiling but really hurting. You know, and there are some steps in dealing with the it. One, you got to understand Romans 7 that says there is a war going on the inside of you. And I think Paul then begins to talk about even when I wanted to do good, evil was always present. Evil was always present. Anybody, you know, there have been times, I don't know about you all, but I'm just going to be honest today, y'all mind? All right. Sometimes I've held the door open for women, you know. And then when I saw their attitude, I closed it. That's just me. I'm just telling y'all the truth. Now, y'all, some of y'all other men ain't going to fester that. But, you know, you try to be nice. All right. And then they looking the other way instead of saying thank you. And especially if it was one of them does, if you let it go, it'll suction in. And I just let the doe go and go. Then I turned back and said, you could have said, you know, you could have said thank you or something. There's a war going on in your mind, you know, and sometimes when you want to do right, you know, my son, you know, sometimes we, you know, you have to discipline your children. And did you think about it before you, you know, what you did, say? No, I ain't really thinking about it. There was a war going on. Yeah. You know, and it wasn't that truth wasn't present. Yeah. It's not that truth is not present. Thank you, Holy Ghost. But who has the louder voice? Yeah. Sometimes there's a louder voice on the inside of us speaking. Yeah. And we've got to listen to the voice of God because sometimes the enemy is that louder voice. Yeah. Because often we want to circumvent what's right. And what's of God, because sometimes that takes longer.
Well,
hallelujah. Sometimes it takes longer sometimes to go the righteous path. You know, my wife and I, we counsel couples. And, you know, that's why I'm really surprised they come for counseling with a date. With a date for the marriage. You know, with the date. And I'm going to start telling people, don't come to me with no date. Because when we finish, we might have to stress things out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? After we check your credit, you know what I'm saying? Y'all just be honest. After we do the medical forms, you know, I'm not just mad. You need to know. You got a will?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You got to do all that. So we don't want to go through the process. And sometimes when you're sticking with God, you've got to go through the process. And sometimes that takes longer. Amen. So when that war is going on, sometimes there's patience in there. You know, but we conquer. Sometimes we conquer and we hear God and we obey God and we conquer. And then after we conquer, we say, what's next? Because we're ready for the next big thing. We're ready for the next big thing. And then we use wisdom. Because how many of you know, you don't want to keep going through Galatians 5:1, be not entangled again. You don't want to keep going through the same circle. Huh? You want to use wisdom. I want to learn from what? Yesteryear. Come on, y'all looking at me, but talk to me.
Yeah.
Huh? You want to learn from yesteryear. So wisdom is the principal thing. I want to get an understanding, but I want to learn from my past mistakes. Huh? I don't want to be a fool twice. I want to learn some things. Huh? So here we go. Let's go to the message now. We got the foundation. Why does the Lord keep blessing me? First of all, because he wants us to know where our source comes from.
Yeah.
Come on, let's say it together. God is my source.
God is my source.
Come on, say it again. God is my source.
God is my source.
Psalms 121 said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help, for my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. There is inspiration and revelation in the lifting of the eyes. Listen to what I said this early in this morning service. Sometimes your eyes can be open, but your head not lifted.
All right.
Are you listening to me? Sometimes your eyes can be open, but your head not lifted. If my eyes are open and my head is lifted, there's a certain amount of things that I have view to and peripheral because my head is down, but my eyes are open. But if my eyes are open and my head is lifted, I can see things around me. What are you saying, John? I'm saying that don't just be a churchgoer.
All right.
Don't just have your name on the roll, but be a participant. Lift up your hat. Keep what's around. Look what's around you.
Yeah.
Live, thrive, and not just live.
Yes.
Thrive and not just live. Sometimes when you can't see around, I talked about this morning about having a car when you're driving. You know, when you're looking, how many of y'all look straight ahead? Sometimes people say, I saw you pass the other day. I said, I didn't see. They say, you was looking straight ahead. And it drives like that, you see straight ahead. Huh? No one around you. Somebody come to you with a flag or somebody come by you saying this or that. You don't pay them no attention because you're looking straight ahead. Huh? But sometimes you got to know what's all around you. Because the enemy will throw things in your way. He'll throw things in your track. And you need to know what's around you. Sometimes you need to punch that thing out there.
Right.
Anybody in here, if somebody tried to sneak up on you? You got to get up off me. you got to know what's around you. I got to be careful up here, the security up here. You got to know what's all around you. Don't just walk through life. And what did I talk about this morning? This is a revelation that the Lord gave me some time ago. He said, John, slow down. It's around you. Slow down because you see things walking that you missed running.
Wow.
The Bible talks about walk with the Lord. Then said run. You see things better walking. If y'all live in your neighborhood and you ever walk through your neighborhood, rode your bike through your neighborhood, and you saw things, I know she lived right there. Huh? Ooh, that's a pretty yard. But you drove by millions of times.
Yes.
But you were driving. You were going too fast. And through life, sometimes you need to slow down.
Yes, sir.
And walk through life because you learn things while you're walking.
Uh-huh.
This is what I want you to do. I want you to tell your neighbor very loudly and very voicefully, slow down.
Slow down.
Yeah. Slow down.
Yes, sir.
Especially you sitting beside your fiance. Slow down. That was a joke. Y'all will get that on the way home. So slow down. Slow down and take one day at a time. Sometimes we get in a hurry about things. Slow down. Fill out the application. My son sometimes does his homework. And he does it all the time. I'm sorry. I mean, he says sometimes. But when he does his homework and he'll finish, he'll just scribble through. And my wife and I go back and say, no, slow down. I keep using my son as an example. What is it about these boys? Anybody got boys, little boys? My son is 8. And it's just, boys are different than girls. Crowd woke up there. Y'all still with me? Boys are different than girls. You know, our daughter, you know, she makes straight A's. Don't have to tell. She goes in there and takes the initiative. Does her homework, does everything. But my son, you got to stay on him. He'll watching TV. You done? I'll get back at it. I'm back at it. You know, easily distracted. Go do this. Go do this. Go on, do this. Got to stay on. But I praise God that he's going to be a good boy. He's going to really please God. He's going to be something great. Every day I tell him, I said, John, whose man are you? He said, God's man. I said, what can you do? All things through Christ that strengthens me. I tell him that every day. I said, you know, I'm like the man. You know, y'all remember the Denzel Washington movie. At the end, when the little boy, when he was going out to jail, he looked at him and said, huh? And sometimes you got to do the enemy like that. Huh? When the enemy thought he didn't got you. And when he thought you weren't going to rise up again. Sometimes you need to look at that problem and say, greater is he that's within me than he was that's within the world. God is my source. Looking to him, because looking to him helps me understand the significance of me, but the power of him. Looking to him helps me understand that I'm better than what I thought, but I understand your power. The power of him. Point number one, God is our source. Point number two, I want to talk about today. The reason why God keep blessing me is to bless others. Huh? Bless others. Your job is to seed to reach your goal. Seed. And seed, we often think, is often money. But it's not just money. But it's those 40 pair of shoes where only 20 pair is in your wearing cycle. So that it's those suits, it's those jackets. And some clothes I have, my wife, I told her I'm going to give some things away because I'll never be a size 22 again. Amen. I'll never be a size 30 again. Amen. Unless I lose weight. I don't plan on losing no more than what I am. Amen. Amen. If you just need to lose. We pray that you don't lose because you get sick. In the name of Jesus. Y'all ain't talking to me. Amen. I rebuke thyroid problems in the name of G cancer and all that stuff. Talking about I lost 40 pounds because I got sick. No, lose it because you want to lose.
All right.
Lose it because you was running. Yeah. Lose it because you was exercising. Yeah. Amen. I want to lose 40 pounds because the doctor told me something. I want to lose it because I want to.
Yeah.
Because I want to be healthy. Huh? Some of us, if they play some shout music right now and the church went up and got happy, we'd be dancing. We'd be 2 seconds. It ain't because the Lord didn't laugh. It's because you ain't in shape. But I want to shout a long time. Come on, give me something. I want to dance a long time. Look at somebody and say, I want to dance all day. If that's what it takes, I want to do. I want to just get up here and just get my thing to going, and I just get to going, and then if things settle down and passes, that jump up on your feet. Yeah! Yeah! And I'm in. But most of us can't jump because we're out of shape. But I thank God today, hallelujah, that he uses me to bless others.
Yes.
So I want to be a blessing. I want to sow my wisdom. Come on, let's look at the scripture, Matthew 6 and 33. You got it? Matthew 6 and 33 says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Proverbs 3 and 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct that path. Psalms 84 and 11, he does not withhold good things unto those who walk upright before him. He will not withhold good things. He will not withhold good things. I'm going to say it again until you get it. He will not withhold good things. So if you believe in God for something good, he won't withhold it from you if you're walking upright before
him. All right.
He won't withhold. It's free. It's for you. It's for you to freely receive. Huh? So I rebuke that spirit of begging God. Huh? You go back and beg God. Sometimes God has to be reminded. And we just go back and we just remind him. Say, Lord, you remember. He said, yeah, I remember. He said, God, will you do this? But if you're not careful, we'll be begging God. Lord, will you please? Lord, please. Lord, do it again. No, just tell them one time, and after you tell them that, then stop believing them for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? And if somebody asks you, what are you doing? I'm just rehearsing when it manifests itself.
Come on.
So if people ask you why you're running and why you're praising God or why you're crying tears of joy and your hands are lifted, I'm just rehearsing for the doctor's report when it says no sign.
Yes.
I'm just rehearsing when I get that acceptance letter in the mail that I'm accepted to the University of Princeton or Harvard or Pennsylvania or Penn State, wherever. I'm just rehearsing how I'm going to act when they come into my office and say, we're giving you a raise or you've been promoted. You know, I'm just rehearsing. Huh? I don't have to wait.
Come on.
Let me tell y'all, I do not have to wait until I get a call. Jesus then already made the call. Y'all ain't talking to me today. And man, I don't have to wait. I've got it on this. Why? Because the word trumps time.
All right. That's good. Yeah.
Ooh. Ah, man, man. I wish I had some excited people in. I said the word trumps time. So irregardless of when time comes, the word is already said. So I'm just living in time, but the word is already done. So the word trumps time. That just came up out of me today. Your anointing is not just for you. Your power is not just for you. How good you are, how anointed you are, guess what? God gave it to you for somebody else. If there's goodness in you, it's just not to share in the mirror. Ooh, look at you. How good are you? I'm good. You did real good. Yeah, I'm good. But the goodness inside of you is for somebody else.
That's right.
Huh? And sometimes your goodness needs to rub off on mean people. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be at church in my mind. You know, it's too much work. You know, you got to speak to some folk and not the other. You got to frown. You got to put on. You got to do. Why can't you just be free and be happy?
Yes.
Huh? Just be free and be happy. Thank God I love everybody. Come on now. Thank God I can be free and I love everybody. No matter what's going on at home. When I get in the God house, my faith is built up.
Yeah.
Amen. It's something about God's house. Yes. It's something about God's house, like-minded believers, that builds my faith.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. So it's not just for you. Come on, say it with me. It's not just for you.
Not just for you.
But it is to be shared.
But it is to be shared.
Come on, say it again. It's not just for you.
Not just for you.
But it is to be shared.
It is to be shared.
And sometimes that stronghold need to be loosed. Where we can be free to praise and worship God. Don't you know it's commanded in the Bible that we praise God, that we worship and that we adore God. And some people think that strongholds is a lot of different things. I'm going to get to that in just a second. But and God will generously provide you all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. I'm going to get to that stronghold in a minute. But God, I thank you for blessing me to the point to where I've got enough to share with others.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that you're a millionaire. If I make $20,000 or $30,000 a year, whatever my, if I've got a few items left over after dinner, I can share with others.
That's right.
Television have gotten us to believe that success means billionaire status.
Yes.
Success is really your measure of completeness. It's completeness in God. I can graduate from school and say I'm successful, but I'm not a millionaire. And we've convinced ourselves that success means this. You know, when you're actually successful, let me say, if you woke up this morning, you're successful because somebody didn't get up.
Come on.
If you have a job or a means of income or way of supplying your need, you are successful. Because there are a lot of people that's out of work.
That's right.
If you have a home, I'm going to touch your button in a minute. If you have a home, and you're going to get excited. If you've got a home and you've got a roof over your head, you're successful. Because there are thousands of people that are homeless. If you got a car with gas in it and it's running, you are successful. Because a lot of people have a car, but it's not running. And a lot of people have a car, but they don't have gas money. You are successful. If you woke up and came to church in your right mind and nobody had to lead you in, or didn't nobody have to tell you where to sit, you are successful, because there are behavioral centers that are filled with people that don't even know they're here. So whatever state you're in this morning, you have met a great amount of success already. Yeah. Tell your neighbor, I'm successful. Come on, say it with me. I'm successful. So then he says here that you will always have everything you need. Not sometimes, but always have everything you need. So the Lord becomes a vehicle of supply. My life in God is a vehicle of supply. I'm not pimping God. Because I don't just call him when I need something. God ain't dropping off nothing at 12 o'clock, and I'm not calling him at 2 o'clock. So I'm not a rogue, so I can't say what I really want to say. It's not a pimp relationship. Don't be respectful. It's not a pimp relationship, you know. But I call him because I found out that I need him more than he needs me. I found out that living this life, I need him more than he needs me. And so I understand really who God is. And I understand that I really need, in my point of destitute, I need him. And so he becomes a supplier so that I will always have peace. So that I will always have blessing. Not just sometimes, but it's all the time. God and I are not in a one and done relationship. It's not because I needed a car, I'm going to give what Pastor asked for so that I can get a car. You know, it's not because of this or not because of that, but our relationship with God is long term. I'm in it till I die. So don't pimp God. When things are well, then God don't hear from you, don't call him. But when things get bad, all of a sudden God comes on speed dial. We be texting God and there, God, you still there? We go to God's website. When the next service, God? That's a joke, y'all, to get that on. But always, and then plenty left over. Plenty left over. Plenty of wisdom. Plenty of deeds. When I exit ministry into one ministry, I go into another because I have plenty to give. And I want to talk to our leaders today. Just because one thing didn't work out for you don't mean that you quit. Serving is about finding your space. Finding your space. And some things, I don't use the word fire. I use the word redirect their career. Because in a lot of cases in ministry, your career may be redirected. But that doesn't mean that the ministry doesn't need you. He may just may not need you there. But your biggest concern is, where can I best contribute? Or where can I be best served? And not where I feel comfortable. Because there's a difference between where I'm best serving and then where I'm comfortable. I may be comfortable being a deacon, but the Lord has called me to other terms of ministry. Somebody say hallelujah. So I want service to God, and it's a flow, and I will always have sufficiency. Luke said, count up the cost. Count up the cost. And you see that person helping there, because the person on the bottom may not have really counted up the cost. But there is a person on the top that may not have counted up the cost, but because they didn't plan on turning around going back to hell. And sometimes when you're in servant ministry, it causes you to detour from your plan. And it causes you to do things to help the body and not just you. You got to be unselfish in serving. Somebody said, praise the Lord. All right, here's the final one. My final thought today, to bless others, to know that he's my source, But he loves to see my response. He loves to see my response. Anybody remember Christmas time at your house when you were small? Can I see it by the showing of your hand? Anybody remember Christmas time when you wrapped your own gift and you tried to act surprised? Anybody in here other than me? Your mom and dad gave you the money and said, go buy what you want. And so to help make the Christmas tree feel, you wrapped your own gifts and put your gifts under the tree. And so when Christmas time that morning you came and I got an Atari 5200. Y'all remember that? That turned over, Pac-Man flipped the screen. What my Pac-Man using it? So when I unwrapped the Atari, I got an Atari. You know, you tried to act surprised at everything. And you know, but Christmas time, it was a joyful time. And sometimes that's the way God wants us to be, although we know he's good. Although we know that he is a supplier, although we know that he woke us up and he did all of these great things for, he gave us stability of mind, thought. He did all of that. Sometimes he still wants us to give him praise. Although we know what he's already given us, he wants us to give him praise. Let's look at the scripture. I will thank you how long? Come on, say it with me. I will thank you how long? Because thou hast done it. That means I'm thanking you because faith says, when I look up the road, it's already done. When I look up the road, I'm praising now before I get there because it's already done. I'm praising you because thou have done it. I have rescued. You have rescued me and kept me safe. Thank you, Father, for rescuing me. How many of you have ever been in situations that you could not get yourself out of? I'm going to give you another chance to give me a response. How many of you have been in situations that you could not get yourself out of and it took God to get you out? Thank God for grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know some people around you may not have known you before you got saved and before you got cleaned up. And before you got all cute, and before you got all handsome, and before you started wearing all them Johnston and Murphy and Allen Edmonds, and before you get, you know, but how many people in here was toe up from the floor? How many people in here needed some help? I mean, you really needed some, and if it wasn't for the word of God, you would be a destitute person. Now, here's the catch. Here's the catch that praise really tips in, really kicks in. Are you listening to me? I'm not what I used to be. I may not be what you want me to be, but I sure ain't what I used to be. Anybody in here that know that the Lord has brought you from a... Y'all gonna make me go back to the hymn. Anybody here know that the Lord has brought you from a mighty long way? When they used to say that word mighty, in other words, I can't really think of all the words. The adjectives and the adverbs really express how far he's brought me. All I know is I used to be that. So when I passed folk that was drunk, I can relate. When I passed people that was in spousal abuse, when I passed people, like, I can relate to that because I know what the Lord has done for me. Now my obligation now is to help. My obligation is not to look down. My obligation is to help. How many of y'all helping this morning? Here's the scripture. What did the scripture say? He loves to see my response. But thou art holy that inhabits the praises of Israel. Psalms 107 and 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wondrous works. Looking to him helps me to understand, listen, the significance of me and the power of him. I said this morning, I talked about rather a few moments ago about strongholds. Strongholds are systems of thinking that contrary to the word of God. Strongholds are system of thinking. And so I want to encourage you to look at strongholds a little different in your life. Things that contrary to the will of God, that God is knocking on your door this morning, saying, I want to bring you up, I want to bring you out, and I want to bring you up to a place of freedom. where you understand why I keep blessing you. And one of the reasons why I keep blessing you is because I love to see your response. But in order for me to see your response, there are some strongholds there to suppress. And so during this time, Pastor, in worship, and when we go forth and when we assemble, there are layers to the person. So there are layers that God has to peel back and peel over and peel back and pull over and peel back and pull over and peel back and pull over. And by the time he gets to the core, service is over. I'll say it again. There are times when we have to peel back and peel back and peel back, because when we come to church, we start over. But that's not God's design. God's design is when you leave one experience, you build and you cut the onion in half so he has less to peel. So you cut the onion in half, and then when you come back to Bible study, he peels back a little bit more. And ultimately, when God gets to the core, true deliverance can come, so that when you enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, it's not so hard for me to release under God. But not just for me to release under God, but for God to pour to me back. And so please know that, people of God, that don't be the onion today, that by the time God's finished peeling with you, it's dismissal time. But when I come into worship, God, I'm already at the core of my onion. I'm ready to receive from you. But I'm also ready to make a change. I'm ready to make a difference. I'm ready to give you all of me. Anybody came ready this morning? I'm ready to give you all of me. I'm ready to give up unto you. I just don't want to bless others. I just don't want to understand you, my source. But Father, I want to give you praise. And I know people say, well, I praise you in my heart. Well, I can't see your heart. The scripture talks about lifting up of the hands. The scripture talks about my voice. I want to give you all that you owe. And I'm going to give you an example right now. Let's pray. Stand on your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.